You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The Gilgo Beach serial killer has been sentenced to life in prison. New York City will celebrate the Knicks tomorrow with a ticker tape parade. Plus, with older power plants shutting down across New York, advocates say there's not enough new power to fill the gap. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. A Suffolk County judge has sentenced the so-called Long Island serial killer to life in prison with no chance of parole. Rex Heuerman of Massapequa Park admitted to strangling 8 women and disposing their remains around Long Island from Gilgo Beach to Fire Island. For about 2 hours today, Heuerman heard emotional impact statements from family members of the victims. Here's District Attorney Ray Tierney speaking to reporters.
That's my greatest wish for this case, is that the victims continue their journey, continue to heal and go on and live the lives that they all deserve.
Tierney says the FBI will enter Heuerman's DNA into a federal database of other unsolved crimes. It's not clear yet where Heuerman will serve his sentence. New York City will celebrate the Knicks NBA title by hosting the first ever ticker tape parade for the team. WSHU's Ava Keough reports.
The parade will take place along the Canyon of Heroes up Broadway from the Battery to City Hall. This route has seen more than 200 parades. The Knicks have never received a ticker tape parade despite 2 NBA titles in 1970 and 1973. Mayor Zoran Mamdani says the parade could be the biggest the city has ever seen. The parade kicks off at 10 a.m. and officials say viewers should arrive as early as possible. There will be numerous street closures. The best way into the city will be Metro North or the Long Island Railroad and then the subway downtown. In addition, several buildings will be lit in the team's colors, blue and orange, and the team will receive keys to the city. The NYPD says they will have special security in place. Ava Keough, WSHU News.
A new investigative report details the challenges Connecticut residents face when they get out of prison. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports on the findings.
The New Haven nonprofit Data Haven surveyed about 400 men who'd been in prison. Nearly half say they're struggling financially, and more than 1 in 4 face food insecurity. Those problems are way worse among repeat offenders. They're less likely to have a job or own a house and more likely to struggle with physical or mental health issues. Data Haven says these problems aren't necessarily because of prison in all cases, but they do show a need to reframe issues around incarceration, since former inmates are often seen as less deserving of help. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
A nonprofit outlines their solutions to a power problem in New York State. That story is coming up.
Public radio brings people together in all kinds of ways. On July 9th, let's get together for a night of live music. NPR's Tiny Desk Contest on the Road Tour is bringing 2026 contest winner Cure for Paranoia to Warsaw in Brooklyn. It's a chance for you to experience the energy of the Tiny Desk in person. Join WSHU and fellow public radio listeners for an evening of music and discovery. July 9th at Warsaw in Brooklyn. Tickets and details at WSHU.org.
The New York State DMV has unveiled new license plates to celebrate America 250. The custom plates feature an image of the country in red, white, and blue with a splash of stars. The bottom reads United States of America 250 instead of the standard Excelsior state motto. Connecticut's higher education system says it's hired a firm to investigate sexual harassment complaints against its former interim chancellor, Ojon Maduko. He resigned in April amid the allegations. The university system is expected to get the report by the end of the month. The Islip Town Board has approved a 2-year contract with ICE that allows federal immigration officers to train at the town shooting range. The decision comes amid opposition from local community members who criticize ICE for detaining undocumented immigrants without criminal backgrounds. The contract limits ICE activity at the range to training purposes only. A Connecticut judge is slated to be the first Black woman nominated to the state's Supreme Court. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Governor Ned Lamont nominated Chief Judge Melanie L. Cradle to the state Supreme Court this week. If confirmed, she would become the first Black woman to serve on the Connecticut Supreme Court. Cradle has been a judge for more than a decade. She has served on the appellate court since 2020, when she was nominated by Lamont. If confirmed by the General Assembly, she would succeed Associate Justice Joan Alexander, who is slated to resign in August. Lamont also nominated Judge W. Glenn Pearson to fill Cradle's spot on the appellate court. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
The agency that monitors every watt of energy that flows through New York State is warning that there's less power in the system and more need for power than ever before. The New York Public News Network's Dave Bullard reports on the problem and possible solutions.
Every time I turn on my desk lamp, fire up our gas stove, turn on the air conditioning, watch TV, or charge my phone, I'm using power. Each of us is at the final stop of a complex system of power that links the places where it's made to the systems and lines that transmit it, and finally, to you and me. In the center of it all is a nonprofit group called the New York Independent System Operator. The people at the New York ISO are the air traffic controllers of energy in the state. They route power from the many places where it's made to the millions of places where it's needed. They watch every watt of power, and they have a message.
The electric grid is at an inflection point.
That's Senior Vice President Kevin Lanahan of the ISO.
We need to build new resources because our energy reserves are declining to a point where we have great concerns with operating the system, especially when demand is like what we experienced last June during the heat wave or last February during the deep freeze.
Older power plants are shutting down and there's not enough new power coming in to fill the gap. The heat wave last June and past winter's unusually long cold snap forced the ISO to buy out-of-state power and ask big power users to conserve. The margin of reserve power used to be adequate, but it's fallen by about 80% in just a handful of years. Extreme weather remains a risk, and the potential growth of power-devouring data centers provides a new risk. There's good news in that wind and home-based solar power are both on the upswing, but the ISO believes bigger, steadier sources are necessary.
The best day to have built a new nuclear plant was 10 years ago. The second best day is today, and they're moving forward aggressively to figure that out.
The state is moving quickly to get a new nuclear power plant built. That will take several years, though, and the risk, the inflection point, is now. The ISO urges more wind and large-scale solar, retrofitting old fossil fuel plants with cleaner technology, and a move towards big battery storage facilities so that every time you flick the switch, the light comes on. For the New York Public News Network, I'm Dave Bullard.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, right here on the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Be sure to check out our new merch shop. Support the news and music you love and look cool while doing it. It's on our website. Head over there and click shop up at the top. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for being with me today. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.